This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 10th of October, 1954. The title of this lecture is Route 1, Step 8. This tape is 14 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
I want to talk to you now concerning the steps in Route 1, continuing with these steps on Route 1, 8. Here we have in exteriorization, the main difficulty on the part of an individual in perception. He believes that it is dangerous to look. This is his main reason for not seeing. He believes that it is dangerous to hear, which is his main reason for not hearing. Actually, there is a slightly better reason than these two main reasons. The main reason is he's a problem to himself if he can't see, and he's a problem to himself if he can't hear, can't smell, and so forth. We learned that under two-way communication, didn't we? Well, he turns off his perception, and this makes a very, very nice problem. And under Route 1-8, however, we discover most thetans have gotten into a condition where they believe that it is now so dangerous that it has ceased to be any kind of a problem. It's just simply very, very dangerous to perceive anything. And so this is simply a process which, when the individual is exteriorized, gets him to change his consideration. You must realize that on somebody exteriorized, all you have to do is ask him to change his consideration, and he is then capable. He can change his consideration that he is capable. He can change his consideration that he isn't capable. Actually, aside from coaxing him to deal with energy, masses, and perceptions, the only process there is to clear is asking him to change his mind. That's all the process there is. He changes a consideration. We drag him out of the field of mechanics, in other words. And as soon as we've got him out of the field of mechanics, why, he processes simply by getting him to change his mind. If a thetan exteriorized cannot change his mind, he is still very, very enmeshed in the whole theory of mechanics. And being enmeshed and immersed in mechanics, he feels that these mechanics are going to smite him one way or the other. The biggest deterrent to somebody getting into this state is fear of the environment and the energy, masses, and spaces contained in it. That is the biggest deterrent to his changing his mind. As an individual gets smaller and smaller and goes on down the dwindling spiral, he believes that exterior forces are more and more dangerous to him. Now, the saw, which is inserted at this point, is really more of a saw than an axiom. Man is as sane as he believes himself to be dangerous to his environment. That's a very low-level look, isn't it? But he is as sane as he believes himself dangerous to his environment. That's very true of man. So this is Dianetics, mainly, we're talking about when we say man dangerous to his environment and so forth. People come up through a tooth and claw strata before they get up into a sanity. All roads lead through force. That is another saw. All roads lead through force. Anybody who has seen the now non-extant lecture charts of the Philadelphia 64 hours of lecture will recall that one of the last lecture charts there has a big force inscribed in the middle of the chart, and then low-level aspects of the chart of attitudes are below this huge word force, and the high-level aspects above of the chart of attitudes are above this word force, and let us say distrust is below force, you see, and trust is above force. But to get from distrust up to trust, it is necessary to cross the bridge of force. If there's any bridge involved here, anywhere in Dianetics or Scientology, it is a bridge called force. An individual believes that forces are greater than himself. He believes he himself cannot cope with the forces around him. And we discover that an individual is very prone to believe that all forces are greater than he is. Actually, he would never have to be afraid of force at all unless he himself were being a mass of some sort. Force can only impinge itself upon mass of one kind or another. A thetan either mocks up a little piece of mass to receive sound waves and so hear, or he is no mass at all and the sound wave goes straight through him. Well, he could do either one at will, so he could hear or not hear. There isn't any mechanical action, by the way, to hearing, really. One simply postulates that he hears, and he hears, and he postulates he doesn't hear, and he doesn't hear. That's not all there is to that. But as long as he's down below force, as long as he feels that he is oppressed by the enormity of space, by the savageness of electrons battering him, by explosions and so on, as long as he feels that he can be injured by force of any character, why, you will find him below this level of force on this chart. He believes all force is dangerous to him. He does not believe that he himself can emanate force which would be dangerous to anything or anybody else. Now, the only reason a word or symbol has any effect on somebody is because he's below the band of effort. Now, similarly, the common denominator of all people who are having any difficulty in life, similarly, that common denominator is inability to experience effort. In other words, they can't work, they can't play, they can't move, and so on. They're afraid to experience effort. In other words, force is outside someplace threatening them. Now, the only reason a symbol has any effect upon an individual, for instance, the only reason you could criticize somebody and have him feel bad about it, is because your verbal criticism is associated by him with times when he has been hit, invalidated. Now, invalidation, criticism at the lowest level, then we get outright overt invalidation, and then right above that, we get this more understandable thing of the lightning bolt. See? And a fellow could only take criticism to heart if he were afraid of lightning bolts. You see, he's got criticism, actually, a symbol of force. If he's afraid of criticism, then basically he's afraid of force. Invalidation converts immediately, as you come upscale, into force. Invalidation means to be hit. But if you could impress somebody by invalidating and telling him he really didn't think that or he really didn't believe that something, it's because he's afraid of being hit, you see? And he associates the little criticism that you give him or the contradiction that you give him with force. He has been taught to avoid. And when even a symbol of force shows up, criticism, he then backs up. So he is below the force band. He is actually in conjunction with a body which is extremely liable to wreckage by reason of force. He's extremely tender. A body goes 2 miles, 3-4 miles in the air, it starts to notice it very badly. If it went 10 or 20 miles up in the air, it'd probably die. I mean, it can't survive up there. If it went 5 miles in toward the core of Earth, that isn't very far, you know. If Earth was reduced to the size of an apple, you wouldn't be able to find 5 miles thick with a microscope. And he goes down toward the center of Earth just 5 miles, and it is much too warm and intolerable. The body is a frail mechanism, mainly, and he is trying to protect this body. And so as he is protecting the body, he'll eventually start hiding the body, by the way, but if he is protecting the body, he is protecting it from what? He's protecting it from space, from force, you see? And Thetan gets himself associated with body very thoroughly, and thereafter he becomes afraid of force because he knows the body can affect force. Nothing can affect a Thetan. Remember this, nothing possibly can affect a Thetan. As a matter of fact, as ultimate effect, he cannot be affected. As ultimate cause, he actually cannot himself be an energy bolt. He can only say he is. And here we have cause and effect, and as far as a Thetan is concerned, or awareness unit is concerned, he would be at either end of this line, and he would have to have some kind of an energy mass at both ends of the line in order to be cause and effect, you see? There'd have to be some energy in there someplace. Well, he'd have to be protecting or holding on to that energy. He would have had to have postulated that he was some section of this energy to be affected or actually to begin some type of cause. In order to be thorough cause, for instance, he could postulate a bolt of energy out in front of him, but he would have to postulate also that he was connected with that to even get the idea that he was being affected by it. One of the most difficult things a Thetan faces is really trying to affect another Thetan, or to be an effect himself, or to actually overtly discover the cause of anything. You see, the cause, the real cause of anything, has no mass, and so can't be located in space. All right. So this Thetan must have postulated that he was something, that he's being something, before he can be the effect of force. You follow that now? Overt motivator phenomena, all these other things can only take place if the individual has postulated that he is something that can be the effect of force. And so, one of the best ways I know of, if somebody has very poor perception, one of the most effective things that you can do with him to improve his perception is just ask him, now look around you and find something that's safe for you to look at. What is there in this room that's safe for you to look at? You say, oh, and some of these Satan, they'll look and they'll look and they'll look and they'll look and they'll finally opine that there probably is a dust particle under the couch that it would be really safe for them to look at. Ah, but that's an improvement. Find something else that it would be safe for you to look at. Something else would be safe for you to look at, and get an answer each time from him. Something else would be safe for you to look at. Something else would be safe for you to look at. And do you know the environment becomes plainer and plainer? And now you could go out the same line and you could say, give me something now, which would be safe for you to hear. And he'll get a condition or a concept at first. Well, somebody could say hello to me, you know, or good day, or how are you? That would be safe to hear. He means the idea would be safe to pay some attention to. You want a beam of energy or something that would be really safe to hear. But you just ask him this and he'll improve his consideration. The simple auditing command is, give me something which would be safe for you to listen to. That's why he's exteriorized, you see. Now, you could run this process interiorized, too, you see, but it really is a Route 1 process, an exteriorized process. Give me something that is safe for you to look at. Now, there's straight wire questions which are used on an interiorized basis. What wouldn't you mind looking at? You see, that's the same sort of thing. What wouldn't you mind listening to? What would listen to you? What wouldn't you mind looking at you? Something on this order will produce a considerable change on somebody, whether he's inside or outside. But the basic question of R1-8 is, now you tell him, now look around. Now what is it safe for you to look at in the environment, in your surroundings here? And just get them the name, item after item after item after item. Now what is it safe for you to listen to? And if you want to go the rest of the way on perception, what would it be safe for you to smell? What would it be safe for you to taste? You see? And he gradually has to improve his consideration, and he realizes that he can experience force. There aren't forces immediately surrounding him here which are going to murder him, mow him down, blow him out. A lot of people, the first moment they exteriorize, will hear the auditor's voice while exteriorizing. It will scare them half out of their wits. They will go back inside, boom, see, and then you have to dig them out again. Hearing something outside is very startling to them. That's because you're asking them to take on more than they can. You've got to let a Thetan learn that he can safely experience any force phenomena in this universe before he will cease to be trapped in the universe. As long as he is going to be afraid of force phenomena in this universe, he is going to be trapped in this universe. Do you follow me? The only way you make him trapped in anything is getting to be afraid of the force phenomena. The greatest thing a Thetan is afraid of course, is unknowns. But that's also taken up in Route 2. He's afraid of not knowing. But then afraid of not knowing is the consideration back of the consideration of force. Okay, now do you understand this Route 1, Part 8? Good.
This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 10th of October, 1954. The title of this lecture is Route 1, Step 9. This tape is 15 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Let's now take up a much longer process called Route 1, Step 9. R19. Grand Tour. The R19 Grand Tour is one of the more interesting things to do with an exteriorized individual. It's a very simple process. What you do is run change of space with enough interesting locales in it to show him that he can chase around a great deal of universe and look at a great many things. You would not do a Grand Tour until you had found out that if he considered it was safe to look at some things, you see. So it's in its logical, natural place here. The Grand Tour can be short or long, but the minimum that you would do with a Grand Tour would be as follows: teaching to be near certain planetary bodies and teaching to be in things and out of things, in other words, interiorized and exteriorized. at will. In other words, put him across distances and move him in and out of things. Now that's a grand tour, using planetary bodies. The commands could be quite imaginative, but make sure that if your commands are imaginative, that they are of a character which can be obeyed. Make sure of that. In all auditing, I'll put this in just as a side, in all auditing, remember that a communication lag mustn't be interrupted. You ask the person a question. You can ask the same question again without his answering it, just prompting him to answer it. But he's got to answer the question you asked. Now, that is a little game the auditor plays, and an auditor who forgets this will discover that he asks the question and then doesn't get the answer, asks another question, doesn't get the answer to that, asks another question, all in an effort to help the pre-clear, you see. You've just stacked up three unfinished cycles of action for this pre-clear, just like that. Similarly, in giving him a command of execution, you say, all right, be near the moon, as one of the first commands of the grand tour, be near the moon. And the fellow says, the moon, I can't find the moon. Well, that's all right, be near a steeple here in town. Oh, this is a bad auditor error. See? Communication lag. All that fellow was giving you was communication lag. You said, be near the moon. And he said, let's see. Well, I really can't find the moon. I don't know where the moon is. Where would the moon be? I wouldn't dare be up there near the moon anyhow. And so forth. That's just what communication lag outflow, isn't it? Eventually, he will be able to be near the moon. He'll think it over and he'll regard this. He's being a little bit scared. See? The only reason he's doing this, which means really that you didn't run R18 long enough to make him feel safe to look at things, you see. So we say that you've run R18 long enough, then you can do a grand tour. Things are safe to look at, which means it's safe to locate. Things are safe to locate. All right, first thing you'd ask him as you start the grand tour, you'd ask him to be near Earth. Well, now he's already on Earth or around here somewhere. Be near Earth. Merely asking to be cognizant of the fact that he's somewhere in the vicinity of this planet. And then you say, the next line, be near the moon. And that asks him to be somewhere in the vicinity of the moon. Well, of course, he'll try to move to the moon many times, you know. He'll sort of get out a canoe or a small space boat or something of the sort and row himself up to the moon. People get a little bit strange about this. All he has to do is postulate he's near the moon and he's there. And he can see anything he wants to see when he's there. You say, be near the moon, he says, okay, I'm near the moon. And the next thing you would say to him would be near the sun, and then be near the earth again. Now you've taken him from the earth to the moon to the sun back to earth again, haven't you? Now that's why we mean grand tour. We're changing space. We mean him to suddenly appear at a precision spot someplace, not to move to it, but to be at that spot and to look from simply look from a location. That's all we're asking him to do. So we say, be near Earth, be near the moon, be near the sun, be near Earth. And we could keep on doing this and would keep on doing this for some time. Be near the moon, be near the sun, be near Earth. And you'll find out that he will start doing it much more rapidly than he was doing it for. And so you will have to telegraph it to him much more easily. You will have to say to him, as you commonly do, although it disobeys one of the primary factors of auditing, it makes him remember the rest of the thing. You say, moon, sun, earth. Actually, better auditing to say, be near the moon, be near the sun, be near earth, be near the moon, be near the sun, be near earth. Well, you just chase him around on that circuit. It's really better auditing to tell him that each time, you see. Chase him around the circuit. You'll find out that he goes more rapidly. In fact, he will start going so rapidly that vocal commands become arduous for him. He'll have to wait around for all these words to get out. Well, what's the first phenomenon that is noticed by the auditor? That he is moving slowly at first, and then that he's moving more rapidly. Well, now there's another phenomenon, which is the same phenomenon, really. It is that the theta is in the influence of gravity when you start to run R19. To a greater or lesser degree, he is influenced by gravity as an awareness unit. See, he's under the influence of gravity. And as you chase him on this circuit, he finds he can be near these bodies without experiencing their gravity. See, that's a big gain. isn't it? Be near these bodies without experiencing their gravity. So he will notice as he swings in, gets near the moon, you see that he starts to go down to the surface of the moon. Be near the sun, he starts to swoosh, see? And he starts to get close to the surface of the sun. And you be near Earth, and he starts to swing down on Earth. Well, as you chase him around there, he less and less has a tendency to do that. In other words, he can fix himself much more precisely because he's gotten over the idea that he is interfered with by gravity. All right? You follow me then as what you're doing and why this change of space is that way? Well, now look, though. Remember what I first told you in R18? Remember R18? I told you that if he was going to be influenced by anything, if he was going to be in effect, remember, he would have to himself be hanging onto some mass. No, so as you chase him around to the moon, to the sun, to the earth, and he is less and less influenced by gravity, you must be taking some mass away from him, huh? Ah, so that is the thing you must remember in running the grand tour. Remedies havingness. Put up 8 anchor points and pull them in on yourself. Put up 8 anchor points and pull them in on yourself. Put up 8 anchor points and pull them in on yourself. Hi. But this new energy that he mocked up is not now under the influence of gravity. So he can chase around to these various places and he can be fluid as can be. He can have his pockets full of old tin cans and other things which he's mocked up and it doesn't bother him. You see, you've freed him of gravity, even though you have given him some mass. Now, gravity is merely a consideration. All right, let's get to the next point, which is really destructive in the grand tour, really destructive of having this. You have him find a rock and have him be inside that rock. And then have him be outside of it and then be inside of it and then be outside of it and then be inside of it. By the way, a Thetan drill this way ceases to be afraid of being trapped. You see this? All a trap is being inside something, interiorized. All right, and as long as he's afraid of being trapped, he will get into things and stick. All right, so you say, be inside the rock, be outside the rock, be inside the rock, be outside the rock, be inside the rock, be outside the rock. And along about that moment, you will notice that his havingness is shot. So you will say, put up 8 anchor points and pull them in, put up 8 anchor points and pull them in, put up 8 anchor points and pull them in. Put up 8 anchor points and pull them in, put up 8 anchor points and pull them in. Be inside the rock, outside the rock, inside the rock, outside the rock, inside the rock. This is about the speed of auditing, by the way, because if you're dealing with somebody exteriorized, there's no reason to put on the brakes. As soon as he executes or gives you any signification that he's executed, you give him the next auditing command. That is one of the hardest things that it takes an auditor to learn, is the fact that somebody exteriorized is fast. All right, so be inside the rock, outside the rock, inside the rock, outside the rock, 8 anchor points, pull them in, 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 inside the rock, outside the rock, inside the rock, outside the rock, inside the rock, outside the rock. Okay, center of Earth. Now, why'd you take a rock? Well, that's just gradient scale, because you're working up to the center of Earth. All right, if you want to be center of Earth, outside Earth, inside Earth, outside Earth, inside Earth, outside Earth, inside Earth, outside Earth, 8 anchor points and pull them in, 8 anchor points and pull them in, 8 anchor points and pull them in, inside the moon, outside the moon, inside the moon, outside the moon, inside the moon, outside the moon, 8 anchor points and pull them in, 8 anchor points and pull them in, 8 anchor points and pull them in, inside the sun, outside the sun, inside the sun, outside the sun, 8 anchor points and pull them in, 8 anchor points and pull them in, 8 anchor points and pull them in, inside Earth, outside Earth, inside Earth, outside Earth, 8 anchor points and pull them in, 8 anchor points and pull them in, 8 anchor points and pull them in. That is about your speed of auditing, by the way. Okay. Well, what's happened to this boy about this time, though? If you didn't tell him to remedy his havingness, he would have just gone zoom, zoom, zoom. You're ripping to pieces every facsimile and engram that he is privately, secretly holding on to that tells him he can be trapped. You're just tearing them up at a mad rate. So let's give him havingness to make it up. It is the havingness which is the thing, not the significance of the havingness. When you finish up this drill, doesn't matter how long you take at it, actually a grand tour can be conducted in about a half an hour total. But when you have finished this up, you will have somebody who is no longer worried about gravity, who is no longer worried about being trapped, and who is no longer worried about such things as the atomic blast of the sun. Now, there are many odds and ends that you throw in on a grand tour. Find a sun plume. Can you hear it? See, there's no air around the sun, but electronic field can carry sound. One of the reasons that Thetan is more afraid of sound than anything else is because it is in the early part of the track associated not with air, but by an electronic blast. The electronic blast itself was carrying sound. So you say, find a plume and slide down on it to the face of the sun. Find a plume and slide down at the face of the sun. You're, in other words, coaxing him to move. Now you teach him to move. You could have him find Mars, be outside of Mars and move down on the surface, but he's immediately going to discover the force field of Mars. I'm sorry that this has to be so. It's not science fiction. He will always discover the force field of Mars. There's something wrong with Mars. And you say, move down to the surface of Mars. He doesn't like that. Be on the surface of Mars. Okay, be outside of Mars, on the surface of Mars, outside of Mars, be on the surface of Mars, outside of Mars, now move down to the surface of Mars. Didn't like that a bit. All right, I made it. Hey, what do you know? Hey, there's something around here. Well, move out to the outer atmosphere of Mars. Move down to the surface of Mars. He finally gets so he can move through force fields. Every once in a while, you discover some boy who is standing there looking at a huge ultraviolet ball or a big pyramid such as you see on the dollar bill. And all, actually, it's almost the exact emblem, the dollar bill. That's the gates of Mars. That's the between life area. He'll run into this and tell you all about it. Well, now, don't you be surprised. It's simply the gates of Mars, the callback area. Just run change of space. Now, the rest of this is change of space. Now, there's a whole list in the printed edition of the Auditor's Handbook that tells you all the places you change space. How do you run somebody on change of space? It is something like spotting spots, but it's the Thetans' way of spotting spots. Be in the childhood home, be here, be in the childhood home, be here, be in the childhood home, be in this room is better parlance. Be in the childhood home, be in this room, childhood home, be in this room, childhood home, be in this room, back and forth, having this ripped to shreds, facsimiles fly off in all directions. You say, mark up 8 anchor points and pull them in, mark up 8 childhood homes and pull them in, 8 more childhood homes and pull them in, doesn't matter what you ask them to mark up. Okay, now, be your entrance point to the Mesk universe. That's a swindle, by the way. He was already in the Mesk universe, and then somebody got a hold of him and told him he's now in the Mesk universe. He'll find this out. Change of space. If he's doing change of space very, very slowly, it means that he's very short on having this. So you just remedy having this harder. If he gets real slow on change of space, remedy is having is harder. That's the general law that goes back to this. Now you see what a grand tour is. Grand tour is essentially just chasing him around known parts of this universe. It could be extended. You could chase him all over the physical universe. You could have him be in the center of galaxies. Anything you want. As long as you remember to remedy is having this, to be in a certain spot, 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 each time naming a different spot. And be inside of something and be out of sight of something. One of the common practices in the grand tour is asking them to be inside a black star. Outside it, inside it, outside it, inside it. Ooh, boy, does that rip him to pieces because there are black stars up there which are so heavy and so dense that electrons can't escape from them. So they appear to be black, but they are a seething electronic mass immediately on their surfaces. That is a grand tour. It teaches a person not to be afraid of distance, so on. It is something which is run in stabilizing and is a standard step and a necessary step in the stabilizing of a preclear. Okay.